keep your family safe with help from Menards. From smoke and carbon monoxide detectors to fire extinguishers and more, Kidde Home Safety Products keep your family protected in case of emergencies. Kidde detectors feature enhanced sensing technology that reduces false alarms and give fast alerts for more time to get out safely. Check out all our Kidde safety products and check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
I sold my car in Carvana last night.
Well, that's cool.
No, you don't understand. It went perfectly. Real offer, down to the penny. They're picking it up tomorrow. Nothing went wrong.
So, what's the problem?
That is the problem. Nothing in my life goes as smoothly. I'm waiting for the catch.
Maybe there's no catch.
That's exactly what a catch would want me to think.
Wow, you need to relax.
I need to knock on wood. Do we have wood? Is this table wood?
I think it's laminate.
Okay, yeah, that's good. That's close enough.
Car selling without a catch. Sell your car today on Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
The Bird Show.
All right, Lena here wanted us to do a background check. We have offered this up to any of you guys, right? You start dating somebody, you're not really sure who they are, what their background is. You have like some kind of red flags maybe going on. We have a guy, or a woman actually, that will go online and do all of the background checks for you. So Lena calls us up and she's just gotten out of a bad relationship and she's starting to date a new guy and she's like, I don't want to go through this whole thing if the dude has got stuff in his past that I don't agree with. So let's do a background check. All right, Lena, what do you got for us?
I recently had coffee with someone named Tom, and we met through a mutual friend. He really seems perfect. He's charming. He's attentive. He's funny. I mean, we spent hours talking and I felt hope for the first time in a long time.
Mm-hmm. I wish I knew how that feels.
I was about to ask, do you know where to find it so Abby can get some?
It's our store.
Is that on Amazon? Is that on Prime? Can it be here by Saturday?
Can a drone drop it down before it door?
Go ahead, Lena. We're sorry.
Oh, no, you're good. I'm 30. He's 31. He moved here from Portland. And, you know, we talked about what I do. I'm an interior designer. He's a graphic designer. And he was telling me about all the jobs he's had since college and how he ended up in Portland originally. And, you know, he just moved to Atlanta 1 month ago. He's originally from Northern California. So, yeah, I mean, it's been a while since my last relationship. And it was a guy who turned out to be totally different. Than what he presented at first. So I just have some trust issues and a new guy feels a little scary. But yeah, so that's all the details. I hear you do background checks.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't mind, I would love that. I'm that's what I'm reaching out for. Is this Tom guy everything he's cracked up to be?
Yeah, so we've already done the background check, so we'll give you the results here in just a couple of minutes. But let's just go through a couple of things here. So this guy hasn't given you any kind of indication if there's anything shady going on in his background. You're just bringing a lot of baggage into this new relationship, honestly, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because literally you've only sat down with him for a couple of hours and had coffee, but you feel a chemistry and you think there might be potential there.
Yeah.
Okay.
What were some of the shady things that you went through before that pushed you to this point where you feel like you're in such a place to have to need this information so fast?
Oh, yeah, girl. What happened?
Well, I mean, I don't want to, like, sit here and drag my last person's name through the mud. But
please do.
No, we're okay with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just wasn't, he had had a criminal past, and it wasn't, like, serious, mm-hmm. but it was enough that, like, as we were getting more serious with each other, I should have been told about it, and I wasn't.
So basically, if you had known that information, you would have never dated that guy before?
Correct.
I mean, we could call it different things, but I mean, Abby, you can confirm this. Mo, you can probably confirm this also. When you're about to go out with somebody, you do your own background check. You go online, you check out their Insta, right? You check out TikTok or whatever. I mean, we're not going to call it a background check because it's not you know, you're not paying anything or a professional, but you're doing the same thing, aren't you, essentially?
Yeah, I'm all up in their LinkedIn. I'm on Indeed.com. I'm looking up their salary. I'm looking up where they went to college. I'm probably looking at your Prezi from your sophomore year of high school where you talked about mitochondria being the powerhouse of the cell. There is nothing I don't know about you going into this date. I have seen your parents' house on Zillow, looking at their resale value. I'm preparing for my whole future with you before we even have a drink.
See, so like when I first started dating my husband, and we're talking like this is 18 years ago, you didn't have access to a lot of that stuff. Yes, the internet was around. It wasn't that long ago. But you always did word of mouth, right? So people, especially if you were in a smaller town, somebody had dated somebody that they knew or whatever. But in this instance, because he moved from Portland and he's just new in town, you don't really have anybody you can bounce off with. Because I will never forget this one girl, Jennifer, I'll never forget her name. We worked together. She knew a girl that had dated my husband, and the only thing she said, hey, I just got to warn you, he's got a really hairy back.
Shut up.
I mean, that's a reference.
Wait, does he? Oh, yeah. But
that's a reference.
Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. Let's just call it a reference
right
there.
Does not bother me. It makes up for it in other areas. Okay. Oh, hey, yo. I need to stop drinking caffeine. Oh, my God.
Kristen has been on a roll this week. I mean, because she usually drinks decaf. What was the tipping point for you going, you know what, I need caffeine now?
A 3.5-year-old.
Okay. Man, it's like you've taken the limitless pill. I can't keep up with you.
Need to stop.
So, all right, Lena, we have already done the background check for you. Our studio director, Tommy, will give you all the details in a few minutes.
We have, and there is one thing in the background check results that may have you questioning everything with this guy.
Ooh, good tease, Tommy. All right, Lena, hang out for just a couple of minutes, and we'll give you the results, okay?
Okay.
All right, Burt Show background check coming up next.
The Burt Show.
The new guy that our listener Lena has been hanging out with has done nothing wrong. There are no red flags yet. However, she just came out of this really bad relationship. She's a little scarred from it.
Yeah, she said that the last guy that she dated was a little shady. And by shady, she found out that he had a criminal record. So obviously, when you find out that information with the guy that you're dating, you're going to start to kind of view all relationships that way. Like, if this guy that I trusted and liked also had a criminal history, why shouldn't every other guy I start dating have the same background?
So we've made the offer to you guys because Tommy has a woman. She's got a girl. That does this for a living. She's a PI and can professionally do a background check. So Tommy reached out to her. Lena, you gave us all the info about her. So Tommy now is going to tell you exactly what they found on the background check. Okay, you ready?
I am ready. Thank you.
All right, here we go. Tom's name, age, checked out fine. His addresses. There was a previous city he lived in, Lena didn't mention. He had an address a few years ago in Boise, Idaho. He did not mention Boise, correct?
He never mentioned Boise.
Maybe it's a rental property. He never lived there.
Or maybe he's on the run from the cops.
Go either way.
Yep. Employment history. He's had jobs in Northern California, actually in San Jose, near where he grew up, then in Boise, then Portland, now Atlanta. So we know about Northern California. We know about Portland. We know about Atlanta. He has not mentioned Boise.
Yeah, no, he never mentioned that.
Well, I think we all know the old cliche. Whatever happens in Boise.
Stays in Boise.
Stays in Boise.
Or he's just embarrassed that he lived in Idaho.
All right.
Does he have an affinity for potatoes?
Let's get to what you're most concerned about. Criminal record, because your last dude had a criminal record. He does have a criminal record.
Okay. Well,
no.
Well, depending on what it is, it could be sexy.
It was only...
That is a sexy crime. Well, we talked about this last time. Somebody that was like got hauled in because they were protesting something.
Yeah, this isn't sexy, but it's nothing too alarming. It's a misdemeanor charge in his early 20s for public intoxication.
Oh.
Come on. Half the country was getting arrested for that.
That's not bad at all.
No,
it was a long time ago. I mean...
All right.
I don't even consider that criminal.
Did he go like to school in Idaho? Like, is that where he...
Well, let's go to his social media. So Tom has Facebook and Instagram, and our PI saw plenty of smiling pictures with friends at bars, on trips, family gatherings, all the stuff you normally see on Facebook and Instagram. He seems very well liked, very carefree, adventurous. But he does have some pics from a while ago in Boise with a young woman. And there are quite a few of them. Our PI looked into her. She is still in Boise. Evidently, she grew up there.
So maybe she's why he did mention Boise.
Kind of funny you say that, because our PI's deep dive into her. A few months after all the pics with him on her social, she started posting pics of her and a baby.
Oh my gosh. Okay. You think that's his baby?
Well, we don't know. Our PI, that was their first inclination, but there's no record of him like paying child support or anything like that. So we're not sure. And we couldn't locate like a birth certificate that would list like the father's name. She's still looking for that. But we kind of ran out of time and haven't found out anything there.
Okay, so you have been with this guy, you said, for how long you've been dating him?
They went on one date.
One date. All right, so you wouldn't necessarily reveal...
No.
That you've got a kid across the country on the first date, right? So no harm, no foul here yet, right?
I don't think so.
But is that a deal breaker for you, Lena? A dude with a kid?
Well, it's more that he hasn't told me about it. Like,
it's one date.
Yeah.
How long were you guys talking before the date?
For several weeks. I wouldn't expect him to tell me about it before the date, but like a guy who doesn't talk about his kid on a date is like...
I agree with that. It's like they talked about, you know, what they do for a living, and he talked about his whole background and kind of went through the rundown, but he skips over a major part of his life in a city that he didn't mention.
This is an interesting question now, and maybe to Abby and Mo more specifically. Like, we have debated before on the first date, should you reveal that you have a kid? But if you've been talking for 2 months before that, what is the correct amount of time before your kid's name comes up? Is it 8 weeks? Is it 3 weeks? Is it not at all?
I think it's fairly fast. In my experiences, if someone has a child and we've been talking for a few weeks, at some point that's going to come up.
Yeah,
unless you're trying, you got to go out your way to hide it. Like a child is something you should be proud of. You should be wanting to tell me that.
That's the thing for me is like, if he does have a child, I would be okay with it if he's like proud of the child.
Yeah.
But when he's like hiding it, that to me is a character.
Mm-hmm. Thing.
We're also assuming that this is his child.
Right.
Because I live in breakup land. In my mind, I'm like, maybe she cheated on him with another dude. And that's why he had to leave Idaho for good. And that's why he went way across the country. Because she'd a ho in Idaho.
Idaho.
Hey!
She put the ho in Idaho.
you are on one this week. Thank you.
You should retire today. Lena, so, I mean, God, this is kind of a double-edged sword here, because now you know this is in his past.
Maybe.
So maybe, but, I mean, you've got info. So do you bring it up? Do you percolate?
She looks psycho if she comes to the next day and was like, I did a deep dive in your socials and saw you hanging out with this girl, and there's a lot of pictures of you guys. And so then I went to her page, and I saw shortly after she posted pictures of you, there was a her with a baby. So I need to know, why did you never mention Boise, Idaho, and what is that child yours? That sounds insane.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, crazy. She could just ask, what are your thoughts on kids?
Right, you lead the witness.
Or have any kids?
Yeah.
Doesn't that normally come up when you're dating somebody for several weeks?
Yes. Okay, you can do that.
All right, Lena, I would love to follow up with you. You do have plenty of opportunities to lead your witness here into the conversation where he should bring up his kid and Boise.
So I wouldn't ask if it's like, do you want to have kids? Because for a woman to ask that of a man on a second date, that reeks of desperate and I need to procreate. But I do like asking like, so, you know, just getting to know more about you. Do you have any kids? Do you have any hamsters?
Are you married? Yeah. These like normal questions.
Have you ever visited Boise, Idaho?
When are you supposed to go out with this dude again, Lena?
This weekend.
Okay, cool.
I wouldn't cancel the date. I would still go out with them.
Yeah. Now let's check back with you.
I mean, I think he's safe. He just might be hiding something.
Yeah. Lead him and then come on back on Monday and tell us exactly what you did and what he said, okay?
Will do.
All right.
Because we need to know.
Yeah, we do. This is more about us now than it is you.
1,000%.
It's The Bert Show.
The Bert Show.
there a right time or a wrong time to move in with somebody?
I feel like if it's the right person, it really shouldn't matter when you move in with them. I mean, in terms of like if it's going to affect your relationship. Like if you guys are meant to be together, I feel like moving in with each other, of course, is going to throw some roadblocks into maybe the progression of your relationship because living with a person is hard. Mm-hmm. But if they're really meant for you, is it really that bad of an idea? So this is something that I've been thinking about recently because my brother lives down in Tampa. My brother's got this new girlfriend. They've been dating for literally like 3 days. And by 3 days, I mean like 3 months. It's a really new relationship, but it's going really well. And of course, down in Tampa where he lives, there were some pretty dramatic and terrifying natural disasters that just went through, two hurricanes. And my brother lives in the part of Tampa that got hit pretty hard. So his apartment was flooded and a lot of my family stuff was flooded. So there's really nowhere for him to go except for his girlfriend's apartment. He's like, I'm either going to have to get a hotel room and spend, you know, a significant amount of money trying to house me and my Australian Shepherd, which needs a backyard and room to move and play and, you know, destroy things. Or I could just move in with my girlfriend and because things are going really well and, you know, have space for this dog that I have and also, you know, space for me as well. So for the last like 3 or 4 weeks, they've been shacked up living together and they've been together for I think 3 months. Like it has not been like in any other situation I would consider this too soon to move in with someone.
You learn a lot immediately when you live with somebody, that is for sure, but you don't know until you actually do it. But I think it's one of those things because I think I've made this mistake a couple of different times. If you're gonna err on the side of waiting too long.
Well, he didn't really have that he didn't have the ability to make that decision because it was either like, okay, go stay at the Holiday Inn or go move in with your girlfriend.
I mean,
because there was
Yeah, in circumstances where we're not talking about a hurricane or something, but like something more normal, I would say hold off.
So, but like this is a temporary fix. Is he going to move back out or have they decided that he's just going to stay there?
Well, I think because the relationship is going so well that now they're talking about like moving in together when he finds a house because now he's in a position where he's like, well, I already knew that this was going to be the last time I signed a lease on an apartment. Mm-hmm. So, why don't I just find a house? And then I will say in the family group chat that she's a part of, they've started calling it their household. Like they were tweeting, you know, or they were texting us about the election. They're like, well, in our household, and then took a little selfie with them. And I was like, oh wow. Like this has progressed very quickly. Now the fact that you guys share a living space.
I feel like it's one of those things where you really have to know yourself because it's a lot of people who could move in immediately. I've seen it and completely successful because that betters their life. It improves their life. Whereas there are others, like myself, who I think you really can. It could be a person that's for you, but that level of intimacy mm-hmm. that fast, it'll get in the way because it's just too much too soon. And then I'll start seeing things that maybe I'm not supposed to see so soon. So you got to know who you are and if that's going to work for you or not.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, so when my husband and I first started dating, 1 month into the relationship, I got a gig in another state. 2 months into the relationship, I moved. And I didn't really think twice about the relationship. I'm like, if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. 6 months into our relationship, he moves to that new city to be with me. And he moved and he like was staying at my townhouse, but he was looking for an apartment. Mm-hmm. He never found one.
Nah. Once a guy gets in there and everything's clean and organized and there's no algae in the shower and it smells good and there's washcloths that are clean, we ain't leaving.
Okay, no, you forgot who you're talking to. This is me. I was the one when he came over and he spent the night at my house for the first time. I had to shove a giant pile of clothes off the bed so we can actually get into it.
That's not nobody
goes
for me too.
I am messy.
Well, that's what I've always felt like when guys always talk about being really reluctant to move in with a woman, I'm like, why would you not want to move into a girl's place? We have scented candles, different mm-hmm. scented body washes. Your woman is there 24/7. It's like having...
That's why.
Mm-hmm. There you go. You got to it.
You just nailed that.
It's that part.
The 24/7 part.
But I was trying to allude to the fact that it's sort of like always having a little snack in your cupboard. You know what I mean? Like, if you want something, she's there. You know what I mean?
I've had the opposite experience of Bert and my dating. Like, my apartment gets dirtier when my my lady comes to visit me. It doesn't get cleaner. Mm-hmm. It's very clean when she's not there. And then when she's there, it's not my apartment anymore.
I have had the same experience lately.
And Bart's been married to it he's been dealing with it for 18 years.
Yeah, I've said before, you know, like the idea of marriage, again, does not scare me. Living together scares me. You know, I could put my finger on it, but it would take way too long. It's just I don't know. It's that personal space. There are some people that just need more personal space than others. And I think Mo and I are the same that way.
Yeah, I saw this video on IG, actually, and I'm going to send it in because it was a woman speaking to men being so different than women in her experiences. And so many women take that personal, and it's difficult for them not to. But maybe it is something that's just embedded in men that we just genuinely need and enjoy personal space, even if it's to do absolutely nothing.
Well, I think it's because when women really love somebody, they want to be around them constantly. And the thought of like them not wanting that space basically just communicates the fact that when I want to be around you, it means I really love you. So when you say you don't want to be around me, all I hear is, I don't love you. I have another woman. Yeah. I have a family in Idaho. Yeah. I'm emailing them now. I'm leaving you tomorrow.
All of this sounds so familiar.
Too many times. Yes. All right, it's The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Look, it is okay. It is okay to pivot on a position that you have had in your life before. As you mature, as you grow, you see life differently. It's okay to pivot. Abby is about to pivot.
I know. This is a really divisive time in our country. And I know sometimes having these conversations can be really difficult because you feel like if you're going to, you know, express an opinion, you're really going to polarize yourself from your friends or your family. And I think it's important to normalize changing your mind when you have an experience that makes you pivot on those opinions and thoughts that you had before. And I am proud to say that I did that this week because I'm officially not a Trader Joe's hater anymore. I used to hate Trader Joe's more than any grocery store in this country. But now there is a very close Trader Joe's that just popped up in my neighborhood in Buckhead. And I had no choice but to try it out.
I'm going to need to know the origin story of your hatred for this place.
Have you ever been in a crowded parking lot where you're hangry and stressed and you have $20 in your bank account and you have to figure out how to get into the grocery store, find a safe parking spot, not get rear-ended in the parking lot? It really just comes down to the Trader Joe's parking lot. It's crowded. It's stressful. Grocery shopping is not a relaxing experience for me. There's moms taking their sweet time deciding what flavor yogurt they want to get, and I just want to get my vanilla and get out.
Oddly, I had a conversation with somebody about that new Trader Joe's, and the topic of their parking lots came up, and she said because they are smaller supermarkets, they don't get as much real estate for the parking lot, so their parking lots are notoriously small and a nightmare to deal with.
This makes a lot of sense. The one in Sandy Springs across from that big-ass convention center is the exact same way.
The one in Buckhead that's there on Peachtree, that parking lot's a nightmare.
But I mean, I think we can all agree, and maybe this is where you're going. Mm-hmm. Once you get in it, that is a glorious dang place, Trader Joe's.
It is amazing. And I have never been inside of a Trader Joe's because of the parking lot situation, because I drive by it and it stresses me out. Mm-hmm. The one that's on Roswell Road up near the Henri's and the spray tan place that I go to sometimes, an absolute nightmare. Mm-hmm. There is no sweet potato gnocchi that is going to be worth it for me to possibly get a dent in my car trying to find a parking spot. So I decided to finally try out Trader Joe's because I was driving by that parking lot and I thought, looks like there might be some space for a little Mazda.
So wait, you've always hated on Trader Joe's, but you've never walked into one?
I've never walked into one.
Just because of the way the parking lot, quote unquote, looks.
Oh my
God. Stressful.
This is definitely, this is a question we have to ask for Burt Show listeners later. What do you hate that you've never experienced?
Okay. I am not a doctor, but I'm here to let you know you have generalized anxiety disorder and you need to get on meds and you need to get on med stat.
I know. I've had problems for years, Kristen. This isn't new, but we've discussed this. I can't afford therapy. And so maybe I need other outlets, like maybe, I don't know, alcoholism or something to cope. But anyway, so Trader Joe's has just been a place that I've always avoided. I think I've been in once and I remember it just being an absolute nightmare. And I walked in and I walked out. And so finally, when I saw this glorious parking lot, I was like, I think I might try it out now. Mm-hmm. I want to see what all the hype is about. So I finally drove myself into that little section on Roswell Road.
Still couldn't find a parking spot. That place is popping. But once I got in there, the prices are so reasonable. The selection of pre-made food, plentiful. The ice cream selection, interesting and unlike anything I've seen before. The flowers, incredibly priced and beautiful and stunning. And the cashiers, flirtatious.
I was going to ask, did you get hit on? Did they boost that self-esteem?
Yeah, I need to go to Trader Joe's just to feel something.
They should have one specific line where you know, like, it should be designated. This is the compliment line right here. So instead of the 11 items, this is, you just know you're going to walk through that line and the guy or woman is going to say something really nice to you.
It's all the compliment line at Trader Joe's. You can't find an unhappy cashier at Trader Joe's. And you're even happier leaving because A, you just got complimented, and B, you looked at the receipt and you're like, oh my God, yes. I can afford it.
I think it might be the second most magical place on earth. Everybody in there is always in a great mood. I mean, there might be jockeying because the aisles are kind of small also, but you walk out, it's a little bit like Target. You go in there for a block of cheese and you end up with like 19 different items from different parts of the world you didn't even know existed.
But the difference is Target will send you into credit card debt. Trader Joe's, you make money when you go in there. I can't explain it, but that place is a fever dream.
I gotta try it.
Yes, you do.
I've never been in one.
Yes, you do. And it's in Sandy Springs.
Oh, yeah.
Your comfort
zone.
The
one place I know.
All right. Messy Mikey has been looking into his past or just found out about his past, and there are things in there that are just not making sense to you.
My world has been shooketh. Everything has changed. Nothing will ever be the same.
Okay.
As you know, I've been going through some Disney movies. I hacked into someone's Disney Plus, so I've been watching Disney movies.
You can get arrested for that, right?
I was about to say, I love when people confess to crimes on this show.
Send me to jail. So I watched the first three Toy Stories.
Oh, what an emotional roller coaster you must have been on, friend.
Bawling, crying several times, but I have a video on my phone in hysterics at the end of the third one, wherever he gives his toys to the little girl.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, it got me so good. It makes me mad whenever they make me cry that much. And then they just turn the lights on and the movie's over and you're just like, you look like a wreck. So
you legitimately like boohooed?
100%. Like, I have a video with my lip quivering going.
You needed that release.
This Toy Story thing has sent me down a path to where I got out building blocks the other day. Like, I think I'm like reversing in time or something. I got out my building blocks for nostalgia. I'm going down a dark path here. I need to stop. But I also found the old home movies from whenever I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
There was one disc that I never saw. Dated September 21st, 2001. That's the day I was born.
Mm-hmm.
That's a dangerous tape to put in. You don't want to see yourself get born, of course.
So, why?
Why do you not want to see yourself get born?
Did you see your mama's hoo-ha?
No, that's what I was scared of. But peeking through my fingers. Yeah.
I'm with you.
In the therapy that I have gone to, I feel like they would describe this as healing your inner child, mm-hmm. like regressing so you can kind of relive your childhood as an adult so that you can kind of understand yourself better. So I feel like you're sort of just doing this through the power of Disney.
Okay.
He didn't really buy that.
Okay. Just trying to, you know, speak some life into you, Mike.
Well, I plug in the tape and it's already after I'm born, so I'm safe there. Turns out, usually whenever a baby's going to get born, you know the gender and everything. You already have some names picked out. I'm the third child born, the third and the last. They had no plans for my name. I came out and they're like, what are you going to name? They're like, I don't know. We'll figure it out.
You can literally hear this.
Yeah, everybody was so chill about it. They're like, I don't know. Who cares? I watched my brother and my sister meet me for the first time. My brother said, is he always going to look like that? My sister, of course, immediately starts taking care of me, puts on my little slippers and stuff.
Oh.
But I fast forward the tape. Everybody... This has really thrown me for a loop. I got my hair cut. That was like ego hit number one. I might have experienced ego death here. Everybody called me Jake. My name was Jake. They wrote Jake. I was born a Jake.
Uh-huh.
When they change it to Mikey?
I guess a couple days after I got out of the hospital.
You didn't immediately go to your mom and go, what's up with Mike Jake?
She was out of town. So then also, I talked to her about it a couple days later. She said that she cried whenever she found out I'm a boy, too. Everything is going.
Damn,
and I was born 10 days late. I was supposed to be born on 9/11.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
wow.
So you caught a lucky break there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Kristen is shock. Shocketh. Sorry. Sorry for your shock.
I don't know what to do, honestly.
It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
It's just an observation, and there's nothing really to debate about it, really. I just find it interesting that I've been here now for 23 years, and we've had some changes going on here at the radio station, and this is the first time that we've had a program director that is a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Wondering what's
gonna,
wow.
Yeah, and I'm wondering what it's gonna look, if it's going to look any differently than it does than it has with dude.
One of the best programmers I ever had was a woman, Randy West. She was phenomenal. Still is.
Do women manage differently than guys?
Better. No, I was kidding.
I feel like it changes more by generation rather than gender.
Yeah.
But I could be wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think for sure. I mean, I think the women, they're the female supervisors that I've always had, have always been like very personable. Like they've always kind of handled you as a person first before an employee, which doesn't necessarily make them better. It just depends on how you like to be managed.
All right.
I do think there's, from the experiences I've had with male PDs and female PDs over the course of my radio career, I felt more seen and more heard and more understood with the PD that I had that was a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt there was a different level of empathy and understanding.
Well, she's been here for 12 hours and she's kicking ass.
Yes, yeah.
Good stuff.
Not you kissing up on the radio.
Well, technically, she's not our boss, but she's the radio station's boss.
Yeah.
So we don't need to kiss anybody's ass.
Bert's over here like, I kiss my own ass.
I mean, we only work in the building that she's, you know, kind of managing.
Yeah. Mm. True.
Yeah. Right.
Out there.
Yeah.
All right, Cass, so this sounds like it's right out, straight out of a movie here.
When my friend told me that her mom was going to do this, I had the same thought, and all I could do was make a face at her. And she looked at me and she goes, that was exactly my face when my mom told me this. And she did give me permission to share this. So her dad's been going through something and nobody really knows what. He's your typical kind of like boomer dude, anti-therapy. I can handle it on my own. Like, feels like he needs to be strong for the family. And if any cracks show, if he goes to therapy or talks about his feelings, then kind of the whole structure falls mm-hmm. apart. And my friend has tried telling him, like, hey, that's not, you know, you have been the cornerstone and the leader of this family, but, you know, it's okay to show your emotions. In those weren't her exact words. She did it as like a daughter-father conversation, but that was essentially the message. And so, of course, she talks to her mom about her dad because she's worried. Mom is worried, too. And mom goes, basically, honey, don't worry. I have a genius plan. And my friend's like, oh, my God, what? Like, what can I do to help dad? And she goes, oh, your father's not in on it, but I'm going to take some of my depression meds and basically put them in his food.
That's a real bad idea.
That's a horrendous idea.
We all know.
A crime?
Okay.
Yeah, it's called drugging someone.
Yes,
yeah.
It's not ethical. You don't know how their body is going to react to the drugs, man. I mean, this is a real danger zone here.
But mom is like the same thing essentially that I've been saying, which is like, hey, those meds changed my life. They made me see clearly. It just made everything more manageable. And she's like, your dad needs help. He won't go to therapy. He won't take drugs. I'm not going to sit here and be chained to a ball and chain who doesn't want to help himself, and I can't help him. This is the only way as his wife that I know to help him. And of course, my friend's like, do not do this if for all the reasons we just mentioned. But mama's pretty gung-ho. She's like, no, baby, it'll be fine. Once we get going and his mood changes and he starts to feel better, then I will tell him what I have done.
I would put this on the same level as infidelity.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. This is such a breach of trust.
Mm-hmm.
And talking about the chemicals again, I mean, you just don't know how he's going to react. Plus, I'm on these meds and they taste awful.
Yeah.
Right? If it seeps through, like, you know, the outer shell and you can taste it, it's terrible. He's going to know unless her cooking is that bad.
Okay. So in order to convince your friend's mom that this is a horrendous idea, please have your friend go back to her mom and give her this scenario, this analogy of what she's doing. Be like, hey, mom, how would you feel if you and dad disagreed about having another kid? He was adamant that it was going to be great for the family. It was going to be great for the both of you. This family needs another child. And you were adamantly against it. Like, absolutely not. This is not what's best for me. This is not what's best for the family. I don't want another kid. But then he started switching out your birth control with placebos and you ended up getting pregnant. How would you feel?
Man, I feel like that's a little different. Yeah, being stuck with a kid versus like, and I am not endorsing the drugging. Like, let me be very clear. But I don't think she'll respond to that, because then you're like with it. That feels even more egregious, and they're both egregious. Do you know what I mean? They're both bad missteps.
Mm-hmm.
Her mom, though, is so like, this is going to fix it, baby. This is how I can help your dad. Oh. As his wife. Like, she is genuinely, I can tell you, she is coming from the most well-intentioned place. She loves her husband. They have tried everything, conversations, family meetings, intervention style, like subtle suggestions, downloading apps, like literally everything. And he will not budge. He is in such a funk. So in her mind, she is doing what she's supposed to do as a supportive partner and fixing the situation and helping her husband. But of course, to her daughter and to me, we're like, ugh. You can't drug somebody against their will. This is a really bad idea. I know you want to help him, but this ain't it.
I don't doubt that it's coming from a good place, because obviously, like, she thinks, oh, if he just takes the meds, he's not going to be depressed anymore. And so she's not seeing, like, the alternative of what could actually be really bad, and the fact that there are actual consequences to someone taking drugs that aren't going to work for them. And so I feel like the only way to really steer this ship around is to show, like, I don't know, articles or people's experiences on the internet about how these medications might not always work the way they're intended to work, because not everybody's body chemistry is the same.
Mo, if your woman did this to you and you found out about it, how long before you break up with her?
It would be less than a week, honestly. I mean, if you're willing to sacrifice my health like that in order for yourself, it just kind of feels very selfish to me, and that you're more about you than me. And if my wife can't come to me and find a different solution than having to drug me, then yeah, I would feel like we have a major problem.
So that's the question, because I think, you know, rationally, we're all like, it's a bad idea. But I think her mom would respond, because we've told her this. Or my friend has told her this, and I've told my friend what I think. So, but the thought is, how do you get through then to a guy who clearly needs help?
I don't know, man. But I do know this, that if she thinks this is a good idea, she needs to double up on the meds that she's about to give him.
What if the daughter told the dad what mom was planning on doing? Because if somebody you love is about to be drugged, would you not want to tell them?
Yes. Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. So as the daughter, mom has now put her in this like horrible position of, if I were the daughter, I would be like, mom, if you do this, I'm telling dad.
Yeah, for sure.
I would do the same.
That's a good point.
Uh-huh.
The Burt Show.